Hello, this is Carlin. Just wanted to give everyone a friendly reminder that Brutal Battle is currently up for a podcast award through podcastawards.com. We're under the food and drink category, as would make sense. So please, please find it in your heart to go out there. Give us some votes. When you do vote, like I said, we're under the food and drink category. You'll have to put your email address in as well as your name. They'll then send you an email to that email address just to verify that you're a human being, not some computer, or not a person putting in email addresses that don't exist. So look for that email. You then have to click a link in there to actually confirm the vote. For me, when I did it, it went to my junk folder, so just be on the lookout for that. Also, you can vote once every 24 hours, so if you'd be so kind as to go ahead and vote for us once every 24 hours, we would love it. Also, if you could get other people involved, you know, just go to some friends and say, hey, there's this fun podcast. I was wondering if you could help me out, vote for it. Because one of the big things is we wouldn't just be happy to win a podcast award for the sake of winning a podcast award. One of the things that could really help us out with is when we contact breweries. You know, I try to contact them to see if they'll send beer in. And a lot of times these are breweries that, you know, they're not in the state. They're not in our distribution area. I don't really have any way to get their stuff. So otherwise, they're not going to be on the show. So if we can say in our introductory email, you know, we're an award-winning podcast, I think it would be more likely for breweries to send stuff in. But also in cases where we might want to go to a brewery and do like a special tour or do an interview, something like that, it just opens up a lot of doors that could, you know, create some really good content for the podcast. So it would benefit us, it would benefit you. So please go ahead and give us a vote every 24 hours up until March 25th. You can do it every 24 hours. Thank you so much, and here is the show. Welcome to episode 105 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, and Sean Finn back in the heezy with us on the patented Brutal Battle couch. Very comfortable couch that now actually has a fleece with the Stark sigil for anyone who watches Game of Thrones. You know what that means. If you don't, get on it. It's on HBO. It's an awesome show.
Yeah.
Books are better, though. Song of Ice and Fire books. Anyway. So, let me go ahead and take care of it. I'm going to jump into it again. It is the hop knowledge. We're going to go ahead and talk about the Pioneer Hop. This one was bred at Y College in Kent, England, much like the last one we had, Pilgrim, also Y College. It's another variety from the college. It has dwarf qualities, although Pioneer sits somewhere in the middle. Pioneer is a sister to Herald Hops and will add English qualities to varying styles of ales. Pioneer Hops is a dual-use hop. It's an English... Rome is considered to be a classic English style and come from the oils that lay relatively in balance within the moderate-size light hop cones. Pioneer Hops has essence of citrus fruits and can be used anytime throughout the brewing process. Has a moderately low yield stemming from its dwarf-like qualities, mid to late season harvest for the hop, and it has a tolerance for wilt and mildews. So, most widely used in varying style of ales and somewhat hits the spectrum in European commercial beers, supposedly. So a few examples of breweries using it. We have Old Bear Brewery, their Duke of Bronte Capstan FS. Never even heard of it. And then we have Purple Moose Brewery that puts it in their Snowdonia Ale. It's kind of a cool name in my opinion.
Yeah, I like the name.
Snowdonia. It's like a domain covered in snow. Welcome to my kingdom of Snowdonia.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so Sean Finn's back. And we're talking homebrew here. He actually brought three of his homebrews, and as I've said before, we love trying homebrews on the show. For me, it's very cool because, you know, I try beer from breweries all the time, but they're professionals. That's what they do for a living. So
someone who's making homebrew, this is in their free time. This is what they're choosing to do because it's their passion, because it's something that they put love and care and attention into. Not saying that craft breweries don't do that, but they're getting paid to, is the difference.
Yeah.
So this is a labor of love type thing. And much like I like to create things, it makes me feel like I have a good outlet and it makes me feel satisfied, like creating podcasts, sometimes I write, things like that. I view homebrew as a really good way for people to get their creative juices out. So one of the main reasons I really appreciate homebrews. So for that reason, thank you very much for bringing these homebrews.
No problem. Glad to share them.
Yeah, I'm ready to start tasting. So
let's do it.
Let's go ahead. Tell me what you have, and then we'll start. We'll drink one of them, talk about it, and you can tell me a little bit about how you got into homebrew and kind of what you do with homebrew. Because, like I said, I've only done one batch of homebrew in my lifetime, so I've forgotten pretty much everything.
Okay.
I just remember you sanitize everything, like, all the time.
Yeah.
It's like sanitize.
Yeah, that's the painful part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I just started... Well, we'll get into the history, but the three that I have was I have a double or Imperial IPA with the green.
Ooh, okay. That's the green cap.
All right.
Which actually, of the three, is probably my favorite. And with the orange cap is I tried to make a strong brown ale for fall.
Oh, okay.
So it's a stronger brown. It's probably hitting about 10%. It's pretty good, although I had an issue where I think when I was making it in the fall, I ferment and I carbonate in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's cold around here, and I think in the fall, I think that I dropped too low to where the yeast kind of became inactive.
Okay.
So I think that was my problem. So I tried to warm it up over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks to see if the yeast would come active again and carbonate. So hopefully it's carbonated. But when I did try it, it was a little undercarbonated, and it was but I love the taste of it. So even if it's not carbonated now, I'm going to try and make it again next year because I really like the way it tastes. And then my third one is I just transitioned over to kegging, and that's in our keg now. And it is one we made for Christmas, so it's just what I call, it's just a winter ale.
Okay.
It's just your basic ale. I made it for our Christmas party we have every year, so I didn't make it too strong or anything, but I tried to put a little twist on it. It's just an ale with it's got some orange peel, cinnamon, and nutmeg added to the boil. Nice. So any of the three we're welcome to try?
I want to try all of them.
Oh, I mean, or whatever you want to start with, I mean.
Well, let's start with the winter.
Okay.
Which has a very interesting top to it.
so I have growlers, and but I throw away the caps all the time. So I put it in a growler, but I didn't have a cap. So I had to put a piece of plastic wrap and a rubber band on the top.
I mean, you improvise. That's what homebrewers do, from what I understand. A lot of improvising going on.
Yeah.
So for me, one of my big things, I'm the type of person who likes to just try lots of different beers. So one of the other big reasons I don't want to do homebrewing myself is because it creates a lot of beer, and I don't want to drink all my beer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to drink the same beer. And on top of that, if it doesn't come out good, then I just have all this crappy beer just sitting around, and I'm like, well, that's great.
Yeah.
I smell the spices in this beer.
So for me, the orange hits me right off.
Yeah, that's in there. I get a little bit of like a banana-y aspect to it.
Yeah, I get that too, actually.
Kind
of. I didn't think about it until you mentioned it.
Definitely getting that orange.
But yeah, I get a lot of orange, and then I don't get much out of the taste, though. I get more out of the aroma. Tell me what you think.
Those spices are pretty well blended.
Yeah, I didn't want to overdo it because I'm, like I said, you know, I'm not a big spiced beer kind of fan. So, I think it turned out okay. I think next time I think I'd probably go a little lighter because it's kind of more of an amber type of color.
Yeah, it is an amberish coloration.
So I'd probably go a little lighter so maybe the flavors are a little more pronounced.
It's got more bitterness on the finish than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Which makes it kind of marry with that kind of oranginess, because it makes it kind of like orange peel aspect to the beer.
I did not dry hop this one.
Okay.
Because I like to typically dry hop, which gives you the nice hoppy head, but I guess I was afraid that was going to kill the different spices for the Christmas flavor.
Yeah. It's interesting because it has spices in it, and we've talked about it on the last episode. We talked about how I'm typically not all that big on spices, but the level of spicing is at a level where I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
But I also keep finding myself just taking sips and sip and sip and sip. Like, it's a very sessionable type beer.
And that's kind of what I was going for, because I feel like the spiced aspect of beer is very polarizing. Either you like it or you don't.
Yeah.
And there's really no, it's okay. It's just like, oh, I like this a lot, or I don't like it at all. So I was trying to go for something that was more drinkable. Like I said, I made this for a party. So I was most people that come to our parties are, your typical domestic beer type of drinkers. So I wasn't trying to turn them off too much.
Yeah, so you couldn't go crazy. You couldn't be like, here's this Imperial Stout. Mm-hmm. Can't do that. This is nice, and I typically am not a fan of, like, holiday ales, and, obviously, like I said, spices, but it's in check. Like, everything's in check, I feel like, and it just makes it easy and drinkable, yet flavorful, and I really like the kind of, like, orange rind flavor to it.
Yeah, I dig the orange part of it, too. Yeah, thanks.
It reminds me a little bit of a Revolution beer that I had recently that was a spice holiday ale called Fistmas, and I was a little weary because I was like, holiday ale, spiced, and I tried it, and it had like a decent hop quality to it, and it was, and the spices were in check, and it was beautiful. This tastes like a little less aggressive version of that.
Okay. I think, like I said, I like the way it turned out. I think next year, if I'm going to do another Christmas beer, I think I want to add, we were talking earlier about having like a piney, maybe a dry hop with a piney hop.
Yeah.
Or to get a little pine flavor in there. Yeah. That's kind of what I was
thinking. Well, now you had told me off air that you like how Dogfish Head actually uses like pine. Like, right. They don't use piney hops. They'll use like actual pine. Would you consider using actual pine to get that quality?
I would. Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking of initially. But then I thought, I'd had to go. But then I thought.
The ladies came down. Rebecca and Laura, who is Sean's wife, they came down because they want to check out the homebrews. Who doesn't want it?
Yeah. So my initial thought, thanks.
Yeah, it is.
My initial Rebecca thought was, with the actual using the pine, was that I didn't really know how to sanitize and take care of all that. I didn't want to go in the woods and pick a pine branch off and throw it in a pot,
You're going to get some wild yeast in that.
Yeah, so that was my thought. So yeah. I wasn't sure how to deal with that. So that's why I didn't work with it this time. I need some more experience before I do that.
You're not yet to the point of foraging in the woods for all of your ingredients.
Right, like I know you can, you can like double boil it and steam it to get all the whatever crap off of it, but
well, you can sanitize. Like, you sanitize like crazy everything.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't sanitize the ingredients, so that makes sense.
I know, that's what, either you boil it or you soak it in like a, like I know with the vanilla beans, I've done that, what you soak them in like a vodka or a bourbon to kill anything that's on it. But I wasn't sure how to do that with the spruce, or with the pine.
So how did you end up getting into homebrewing in the first place?
Actually, it was right around when I started liking my brown ales. I think my dad bought me a homebrew kit when I was probably like 21 or 20.
Which I'm going to open this brown ale, by the way, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Hopefully it'll hear a carb.
There's some.
He got me a kit around 21, 22 years old, and I made my first batch of just a typical brown ale when I was, about that age. It didn't turn out well, and it took forever for me to make, so I kind of got turned off. I guess I boiled it. I did my boil outside, and it just took forever to boil. Like, I did a 5-gallon batch, which now I just do 2.5 and then add water in to get it to 5 gallons, mm-hmm. which makes it way easier. So boiling it outside in a 5-gallon bucket, it took like 8 hours to seriously finish the boil, and it was just painful. And then I think it was also at a time of year where I had trouble. The yeast wasn't active, so it didn't carbonate well. It actually carbonated well after about a year, but so I had a kind of bad experience then. So I kind of put it off to the side, never really tried it again until about a year and a half ago, and then I started getting in it again, and that's where these are my last three that I started again. Oh, nice. So.
I'm trying this brown ale, and I'm getting like honey, brown sugar, caramel. What else am I getting? I'm getting like some date and raisin type qualities out of this.
Cool.
It's really interesting.
How's the carbonation?
You're right. The carbonation is low. Yeah. But I don't think it takes too much away from it. And when I sip this, my first thought was, this would be really awesome bourbon barrel aged.
You know what's funny is I actually bought oak chips to put into the secondary to age it with.
Yeah, and like, yeah, some woody characteristics thrown in there.
I was I was nervous about it. Again, it's just, I'm still pretty new at it, so I was nervous about doing all that kind of stuff.
I like the raisin quality to it.
Yeah, it's funny because there are no raisins in this.
Well. Well, I mean, what's the ABV on it? Do you know about
it? It's targeted about 10. Mm-hmm. So it's a stronger beer.
Well, that's why, you know, when you start going up high in the ABV with a malt, like a heavy malt profile like that, you really get those raisiny qualities. Like, it's like barley wines, you know, it does the same thing.
Yeah, it actually tastes to me, because
it's a little barley wine-esque. It's
barley wine-ish and very raisiny. I got my spreadsheet open, I used all my ingredients, so I'm trying to figure
out. And I have, honestly, and when I'm not taking a sip, what is just sitting on my tongue is like a brown sugar flavor.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, I like I said, I liked it. I think if I do it again, I'd probably add a little more hop backing to it. Or maybe, like you're saying, maybe a little oak aged.
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I could see more hops in that, really changing that profile and... Yeah, that would be interesting, but yeah, like some actual like woody characteristics with some oak, but if you could get a hold of a bourbon barrel and get like some bourbony notes in that, that would be phenomenal.
Well, like, what I could do spirits. Is, what you can do is just soak your oak chips in bourbon, and that kind of gives you the same, the same thing.
Could do that.
And actually what I had done, and now thinking back, I added vanilla bean, which I'm not getting much vanilla out because I was afraid that it would be too vanilla-y. But I added vanilla bean into the secondary when it was aging, and I aged it for a while. And I should have soaked the vanilla bean in bourbon, but I actually soaked it in vodka to try and disinfect it, or whatever, sanitize it.
This does not taste like 10%.
Yeah,
like, it's like 8 maybe. Like that's what I taste.
Or maybe it did come out lower. That was the target was 10.
Well, it might be 10. In that case, it's dangerous.
Oh, I think I did calculate it here.
Because it tastes
You know what? You're right. It's actually, the target was 10. It came out at 8.1.
Oh, wow. 8.1. Look at me. Tasting 8. Good job. It is 8.
And I couldn't tell you what the Christmas beer we had was before because I think I forgot to take the original gravity measurement.
Got it. This is good. I will say that I think I like the Christmas beer more because... I don't know, it's just that orange rind aspect with the spices, but like hint of spices, basically.
I was happy with the orange. Nice. I was nervous about it because like I'm not a Belgian beer fan, really. At least the typical Belgian beer. If they're a little off-centered, taken from the Dogfish.
Nice.
If it's a little different, then I do like it. But yeah, I actually, the brown, it's a little sweeter than I would have liked. So I need to figure out if I do this again what to tweak to get that. Maybe it's the wood.
Yeah, well, and if you also do a little more hops to it, I would think that it would up the bitterness, so it would be less sweet.
Yeah, because I didn't put very much hop in it at all.
Yeah.
But actually, the cool thing about this one is, so when I started brewing again after my initial first kind of, you know, dip my toe in the water, and then I gave it up for about 10 years, and I started again with the one that we haven't tried yet, the Imperial IPA, was actually out of a kit, which I don't like doing because I feel like it's like soup in a bag. It's like you're like not doing anything.
Well, you don't need to tell anyone. Yeah. You can just say like, hey, I did this all by scratch.
But the cool thing is this brown is the first time that I didn't do that. So this is actually like a made up recipe. So I think that's kind of cool. And the Christmas ale was the same way. It was just kind of like
good.
Figured it out.
Well, you're on the right track then.
Yeah, so it's going up. But actually, I do like the IPA probably the most that we got. But I did tweak it, so it's not straight out of the box. I did change it some. So
good. Yeah, you always have to have your own little twist on something.
Yeah.
And I feel like I would be the same way too. I mean, when I did my one batch of homebrew, I followed a recipe, But the problem is, when I went to the homebrew store, they didn't have everything I needed, so I just kind of went with whatever was closest. Mm. So I kind of, like, you know, did it my way, but unintentionally, you know? It was like the, it's screwed up, which became my way.
Well, your first couple of batches are just going to be, it's all learning. It's a learning experience. I mean, my first batch, I think I drank maybe 6 beers out of it and threw it away. I mean, it took me about 3 years to throw it away, but I eventually did. Because I kept holding on to it, thinking, like, oh, I'll drink it one day.
This is my baby. I can't let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's been, like, one of your biggest challenges with doing home brewing? What's been the hardest to deal with or the hardest to figure out?
Really, it's just the time. Because it takes the time it takes. It's hard to find time, you know. It's roughly, the boil is about a 4-hour ordeal.
I'm going to open this other one, too, if that's cool. Yeah, yeah. The Imperial. Very excited to get to that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a half a day initially to boil. And then, fortunately, I transitioned from bottling to kegging, which makes it way easier. Because you don't have to sanitize. That was the hardest part about bottling. That took about 2 hours just to sanitize all the bottles.
Yeah, and that's what I hate. Yeah. All the sanitizing. It's so repetitive.
It was, and the bottle part's the worst.
I just took a sniff of this Imperial and... I'm getting some very nice notes on the nose. There's a nice pininess in there, but there's also some really nice citrusy notes.
Yeah.
A little, like, mango.
Try some. It
just smells really nice.
Yeah, this turned out... I'm very happy with the way this turned out.
Oh, yeah, man. Wow. I get, like, mango. I get, like, pine. I get a little bit of, like, an orange aspect to it as well. Man.
So, like I said, this was... I gotta be honest. This was out of a kit. And the kit was...
It's resiny. Kind of resiny, too.
Yeah, what I wanted to do is make an Imperial IPA. So I got the only kit that they had at the store that was an Imperial IPA. And he told me that it was a clone of Arrogant Bastard. And when he told me that, I was like... Because I'm not a big...
You're not a big Stone fan.
Not a big Arrogant Bastard fan. They just always seem a little too bitter for me. Like, it's not balanced well enough for me at all. It's just... But anyway. So what I did was I took the kit, and then I actually tried to take a page out of Dogfish's book and try to, like, continuously hop it. So I hopped it every 5 minutes. I added hops every 5 minutes. So I tried to, so I feel like it's a little more balanced than Arrogant Bastard. And then another thing that I changed was I added fresh Centennial hops, 2 ounces of them to the secondary and aged it for a while, 3 weeks, I think.
Nice.
So I think this is actually sitting at about 9%, I believe.
That's good.
And it's been aged for, this might be close to a year, I would think, this batch.
I'm not just saying this. This tastes better than some Imperial IPAs I've had from actual breweries.
Oh, cool.
Like, thanks. It really honestly does. And it's got those piney notes, and I'm typically not huge on the piney notes, but the amount of citrus that's kind of rounding out those piney notes are good.
Yeah, I feel
it's nice. It's
really nice. I feel like it balanced really well, and I think that, honestly, I think the key was the dry hopping really made it nice.
And it's not crazy bitter in the finish either. It's got, like, some bitterness, a little bit of bitterness in the finish, and I feel like it's got this kind of, like, citric twang at the end, too, that's really nice.
Yeah.
It's cool. It finishes clean. Like, yeah, very clean.
Yeah, I'm really happy with this. This is probably my favorite. Well, I mean, the Christmas is good. The brown's a little sweet for my taste. This turned out really well for what I wanted it to do. So I was happy with it.
Well, I liked all of these. The Imperial's my favorite, as people probably could have guessed, because I love hops.
Yeah, me too.
Plus, it's just, like, it's so clean and well-rounded. But that winter was so surprising.
Cool.
Because, you know, spices in me, you know, and winter has... You always think winter ales, and you're like, But what you did with it, I mean, it was cool.
Well, we got some left in the keg, so if you ever want to walk next door and help me kill the keg, because actually what I'm trying to do now...
I will take you up on that.
Because what I'm trying to do now is I have another... I'm trying to do two spring beers, that are my next batch, and I got one fermenting now, and it's going to be like an apricot type of IPA.
Okay.
So I guess similar to like an apricot or a number 9 or something like that. Although, I want it to be a little... I like the light touch of fruit, not like overpowering.
Yeah,
I feel like sometimes number 9 is a little too sweet for me.
Yes, I agree with that.
So that'll be, and then I'll probably next week, I think I'm going to experiment with a Belgium.
Okay.
Or Belgian, and then and try to add some different spices that are lighter, and I don't know. I'm going to try to do something. different. So I'd like to have two kegs at a time, and then one will be kind of more drinkable, and the other will be like a little different.
I like it. So that's awesome. Plan. So, how much time are you devoting to doing homebrewing? About.
So, I wouldn't say it's all that much. I mean, like I said, I made 3 batches in, say, a year. So that's, and then most of the time it's sitting and aging and fermenting. Yeah. So typically it's a half a day to boil, and then wait about a week or two, then transfer it to the nether, to the secondary to age. And that only takes about an hour. And then bottling took about 2 hours, but that was like another 2 weeks later. So it's nice and spaced out. So it's not really like that big an effort, really.
Well, good.
Yeah.
And this is a passion, so.
And I like doing it, yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
Nice. It's nice to be able to create something and then be able to present that to people and be like, I made this, taste it, and people try it, and they're like, oh, I like it.
Yeah, that was the cool thing about the winter beer. It was drinkable, so like a lot of people at my Christmas party like just were into it, and I was actually pretty surprised because, like I said, they're all domestic beer people, so it was nice.
Yeah. And you're not at a point where you are working for like an actual brewery, so you're jaded by the fact that everyone's just like telling you all the time, oh, your beer's great, oh, your beer's awesome. So whenever anyone says like, oh, this is really nice or I really like it, it means so much more.
Yeah. And I'd like hearing, I mean, I don't need pats on the back because I understand what if it tastes good, but I prefer to hear like, I don't like this because, and then I, at least it, you know, helps you grow, you know?
Okay. Yeah, man.
So if there's something you think I should change, like I get the brown, I think it needs to be less sweet.
Yeah, a little bit. Like I was saying, like, yeah, that woody aspect would be nice and a little more hoppage. Yeah, that would be good. But I think it's good the way it is. But if you're looking to bring that sweetness down, which I can see doing that, the woodiness and up the hops for more bitterness, yeah, definitely. Cool. Well, I'm gonna keep going with this Imperial. Thank you very much for sharing everything about your home brewing.
Yeah, no problem.
And it's time for mystery beers. Do you feel more prepared this time around since you already did one?
Yeah.
I'm it's good. Also, you know, we're a little lubricated from the from all the beer, so
yeah.
I'm feeling it a little bit. Your beers were a little high ABV, and I kind of went a little fast, so feeling it a little bit here.
Yeah.
So. All right, so we have A and B sitting before us. A actually looks like it might be a brown ale. Brown ale or a very dark red ale. It looks reddish brown around the edges. You can kind of, if you like put your fingers on the other side of the glass, you can kind of see them.
Yeah.
But it's hard
to
see.
It's pretty hard to see through.
Put it right up to the light, you can see through, but it's very red when you do that.
Yeah.
A little bit of a brownish, reddish head when you swirl it. So, looks interesting.
Yeah, it does. It's almost like a dark amber.
Yeah. It's like dark. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't like that smell.
You don't like it?
It's one of those smells to me.
I get coffee.
I do get a little coffee, but I get like hay.
Hay.
And spent malt grain. For me, it's almost immediate. Like, anytime I smell something that has, like, that spent malt grain smell, I immediately just think I'm not going to like it because I don't like that flavor. I don't like the smell. I don't like the flavor. It's very barnyardish to me.
I don't know if I'm getting anything other than coffee out of this.
I get a little licorice.
It smells sweet.
It
definitely smells sweet.
You get a little licorice because I get a little licorice aspect to it.
Yeah.
Sugary. It does smell sugary.
I'm getting no hop out of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it's the malt heavy.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a terrible thing, but...
No.
Like the spent malt grain nose.
I don't know that I know what that smells like.
Kind of like sunflower seed husks.
Hmm.
You know, like after you've been chewing on sunflower seeds, you spit all the shells out, and then like the cup that you have all those shells in, like what that smells like.
Okay.
Like wet sunflower seed husks. Not pleasant, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try it.
Okay.
I'm hoping it tastes a lot better than it smells, but...
I get a sweet brown coffee beer.
Uh-huh. That's actually a very good way to put it. I don't really taste a whole lot of that spent malt grain that I'm getting on this malt.
No, it goes down really sweet. And I don't get much alcohol backing either. I feel like it's a lighter beer.
This is really easy to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, real easy. I get a little bit of that licorice that I felt like I was smelling. Mm. I'm actually kind of enjoying it.
I like it too.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's different.
Wow. This is a really odd occasion where, like, the smell I was pretty put off by, but once I tasted it, I'm like, eh, this is actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's not, like, crazy phenomenal, but, huh, I'm wondering if that's, it could be, like, some sort of brown, but there's some sort of flavor in there that's telling me it's probably not a brown. I don't know.
What else would it, what else do you think it might be?
When I first tasted it, because of that kind of coffee aspect to it, it reminded me of, like, a Schwartz beer, which is like a, you know, like a light black lager.
Okay, yeah.
No, but it's not black at all. But
it's not black, but it could. It is smooth like a lager, though.
It's got that aspect to it. Yeah. It really does. And it's crisp. It's very crisp. That's not bad.
No.
I could see myself, like, that's a beer that would go fast. I could see myself just sip after sip after sip.
Yeah.
Hmm. And there's a little bit of that coffee aspect to it. A little bit of that licorice. And yeah. I typically hate licorice, but combined with that coffee, kind of nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to be interested to see what that is. All right.
Going for B?
Yeah, let's go with B. B looks like it's most likely some sort of Imperial IPA. It looks very similar, a little bit lighter than your homebrew.
Yeah.
But that same kind of orange see-through, no sediment floating in it or anything.
No, very well filtered.
This looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Looks gorgeous. Like, gorgeous orange. Ooh. Tell me what you smell on that.
Hop right away. You get a lot of hop. I get...
Give me a second. Oh, nice. Oh, man.
I get, like, a citrus.
Dank hops. Do like, you? Just... Yeah, this, like, this dank hoppiness. Like a lot of citrus, hop? Yes. Little bit of caramel to round it out on the end of the nose.
I get caramel too. It's like a sweeter. Oh, first I had citrus, but I don't get that anymore.
Oh, I get that.
Do you?
I also get a tad bit of like a red licorice instead of like the black licorice that I was getting in A. Just I get like a very little red licorice.
Smell on the malt.
Yeah, it basically smells like a nice citrusy hop dipped in caramel. But not, like, real aggressive caramel. It's, like, kind of light.
Smells like it's going to be really well-balanced, I think. Because it's pretty unique, I think, to get the malt smell with the hop smell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either one of them's overpowering, usually.
And I get a little bit of that kind of Smarties aspect on it. A little pininess, too.
Yeah, I get a little pine.
Very slight. It smells awesome.
It does.
Smells so awesome. Mm. Oh, man.
That's very good.
Yep. That's a nice beer.
That's a very, very balanced beer.
You get the citrus, you get the pine, you get that caramelly aspect from the malt. Like you were saying in the smell, it smells like it's very, like everything's like harmonious. Everything's kind of like, I mean, the hops peaks out a little bit more than everything else, but other than that, it seems like it's kind of almost on equal footing.
Very well balanced, right.
Damn. That's nice. And it's a little sticky on the mouthfeel.
I get the citrus taste with the flavor more than I do with the aroma.
That's a nice, nice beer. Hmm. It's like dark hop flavors.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really balanced really well.
Yeah. And it's
I got a feeling this is one of those beers that's stronger than you think.
Yeah, yeah. It could be like high ABV.
Yeah.
It tastes to me like 7%. Basically.
It tastes, yeah, I think it tastes about 7, but I got a feeling it's stronger.
Wow. That's an interesting beer right there. It's nice. Very nice.
Very good. Mm. Two good beers. Different beers, but very good.
Yeah, good in extremely different ways. You know, B's extremely hoppy and A, barely any perceptible hops, but very sessionable. Interesting. Quite interesting. This is going to make it hard for me.
Yeah, this is tough.
I'm going to have a real tough time with this. What to do, what to do. What do I like? Okay. A is pretty solid for me. Nothing crazy, super sessionable. Starting to get a little more of like sweetness to it, but I'm still getting that little coffee aspect. I want to give that one a between two numbers. Did you want to go first on A?
You want me to?
Yeah, I mean, if you're ready. If you're ready,
sure.
I'm having a little hard time.
It's funny because these two beers are almost opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, they're very, very different.
You got like a sweet coffee beer, and then like an Imperial IPA style. I think this is gonna be a brown, and it's like I think it's got coffee in it, or it's got coffee in it, but I think it's a brown coffee. I would go with. My thoughts are it's a good beer. So I'll just think out loud with my rating. I would think that anything above a 5, I would keep stocked in my fridge.
Okay.
So I don't think this would be a beer that I would have stocked in my fridge, but I'm not disappointed by it, though.
You wouldn't turn it down.
I would not turn it down.
Okay.
So I would give this one a 4.
I was between 4 and a 5, and while you were talking, I decided on a 4 as well. So, yeah. So A, yeah, overall 4, which is good, quite good for this show. 4 is a nice showing. Now, the big question is going to be B. What are we doing with B here?
I've really enjoyed B. And I'm an IPA guy. And
really balanced.
It's balanced great.
I do like it a lot. I don't want to go... I don't want to go super crazy on it because in comparison, like, I think I like Racer 5 more. From what I remember of Racer 5, not a whole lot, but just kind of like slightly. But that's, God, that's a good beer. You can go ahead first.
Okay.
I'm having such a hard time on these ratings because they're confusing me.
I think this is an excellent beer. Very well balanced. I'm interested to see what it is. I think I may know what it is, and which is skewing me a little bit. But I'll be honest. I think I'm between a 6 and a 7.
Okay,
like because it's something I would stock in my fridge, and it's something I would drink often. It's very good for me. I like it a lot.
Okay, I also was between a 6 and a 7.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
But honestly, yeah, I don't know. Go ahead. I'll let you finish.
I think I'm going to go 7 because I really do enjoy it.
Okay. I really like it too. I think I can go 7 as well on this beer.
I think we had the same on both.
Yeah, we did. I didn't even notice that, but yes, we did. I don't know if that ties Racer 5. I can actually check real quick because if it ties Racer 5, it might just end up being a tie because, as we've said, we did an episode where we took the top 4 beers mm-hmm. and we wanted to get like an actual order 1 through 4. And we got the last bottle of Racer 5 that was available in our local liquor store.
Really? It goes that fast?
Well, no. They stopped sending it because Bear Republic ended up having a problem where there's a water limit placed on them in California.
Huh.
So they haven't been sending as much beer. So that's been an issue. Where is this information? I can't find the information. But... basically, the problem is we're not going to be able to get that beer anymore, Racer 5. So, if we want to do... We had done before, like, the playoffs where it would be, you know, a beer challenge. Is it has the same rating. So, we do a taste-off on a special episode. Well, we're at the point where we can't do that anymore because we can't get a hold of Racer 5. Well, let me see. Racer 5 got a 7. So, looks like... we're going to be adding whatever beer B is to the top beers for the show, period. So this is your first stint on Brutal Battle.
I went right to the top.
And this is a momentous occasion.
Yeah, this is cool. Yeah.
That beer is really good.
So really, so how many 7s did you have?
We had three others.
So this is only 4 out of 100 shows.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. that's pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, well, let's go ahead and reveal A first, the loser, but not really a loser, because it did quite well. A with an overall 4, and surprising us, is Scurry.
Scurry.
This is a beer by Off Color Brewing, and Off Color is out of Chicago, Illinois. They just started getting distributed in Maryland like 6 months, within 6 months.
I never heard of that.
Okay, so Scurry is a dark honey ale.
Wow.
It is beer brewed with honey, molasses, and oats. 5.3% alcohol by volume, 18 IBUs. You'd be interested to know, Sean, the gravity's 13.5, the IBUs were 18. The malts they use, they have what malts and hops they use.
Oh, that's cool.
The malts were Pils, Dark Munich, wheat, and chocolate malt.
Oh, those were the coffee and
yeah.
chocolate came from.
The hops were Northern Brewer, Herzbrucker, and Strissel Spalt.
Spalt, huh.
And the secret ingredients, they say, were honey, molasses, and flaked oats.
Wow. So you were right with the licorice type of flavor, because that's molasses and licorice to me
yeah.
are similar.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised I got a lot of coffee out of this.
Well, but I mean, now dark malts.
What yeah.
did they say? Chocolate malt. Yeah, dark Munich.
Well, yeah. Now that we know what's in it, now I taste molasses, but
that's
you know, it's funny that yeah.
That's surprising because typically that kind of beer I'm not huge on, but I that's good.
Yeah, like, I would, I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, good enough. Good job, Off Color. Now to get to it, one of the beers that's going to be tied for the top ever.
Yeah.
With an overall of 7, hell of a moment for this podcast, is, wow, okay, Three Brothers.
Wow.
It is a brewery out of, damn if I can find it, Three Brothers Brewing out of Harrisonburg, Virginia. It is called Hoptimization, 7.1% ABV beer. It's an IPA. Not an Imperial, just straight
wow.
IPA.
Wow.
Yeah. And this beer was actually given to me by one of our listeners, Nathan Kolasnik.
Wow, that's a good beer.
Yeah. Nathan, thank you so much. Damn, that's a good beer. Three Brothers. I hadn't even heard of Three Brothers.
I've never heard of
that
either.
There you go. Take a look.
Wow.
That is, yeah, like we said.
What a good beer.
Very well balanced beer.
You know what I thought this was when I said I think I know what it is? I thought this was Citra.
Oh, did
to
you?
Me it tasted a lot like that.
Yeah, I mean Citra hops a lot of times, like there are a few hops that have that allow that caramelly note to come through with the extreme hop notes.
Yeah.
And for me it's mainly like Citra and Mosaic.
Yeah.
Like those two hops. So at least that I'm aware of at this point. So
yeah.
Wow.
Simcode has that for me too, but yeah. Great beer. Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting because Nathan gave me this bottle and I was like, oh, Three Brothers. You know, I hadn't heard anything. I was like, okay, Three Brothers. I had, you know, you yeah. like, you hear no hype, you have no preconceived notion, and then you try it, and that's why we do blind tastings on the show.
Because that's a good
idea.
Because
we really want to know.
Yeah.
You get surprised from time to time.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Feel happy you were on here for an awesome occasion.
I was. That beer was really good.
Both these beers were nice.
They both were good.
This is an occasion, a kind of rare occasion, where I will finish the beers in both of my glasses. A lot of times I end up dumping them because I'm not like all that impressed, but I'm going to finish these. I want to drink more of your homebrew, Sean,
cool.
as well.
Yep.
Especially that Imperial IPA, damn. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So thank you so much for being on the show. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome, and you're welcome to come on whenever you want to. Listeners, thank you very much for listening. It's been a while since I've actually thrown out all the, you know, stupid plug stuff. Check out BrutalBattle.com. Check us out, iTunes, Stitcher. I'm on Untappd. You can just search for me. I'm Carlin on Untappd, Carlin, I think. That's just me. I'm on Twitter, it's @BrutalBattle. We have a Facebook page. facebook.com/brutalbattle. Check it out, be a friend, whatever. Give us you know, reviews and ratings on iTunes, please. Also, I've been doing real short videos on YouTube called Brutal Battle Beer Break, where whatever beer I'm kind of drinking in my off time from the show. I just kind of do like a 5 minute or less talk about, okay, this is what I'm going to drink, this is what I smell, this is what I taste. Real quick and easy, so go ahead and check that out. Plus you can see what I look like if you want to. And I'm usually doing it in my pajamas because that's when I drink my beer. It's when I'm in my pajamas and getting ready to go to bed. It's a good nightcap, you know what I mean?
Sure is.
I'm trying to take it back to the day, back in like the 50s, when they had nightcaps.
Got to, yep.
You know. So thank you everyone for listening. Once again, thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
And keep it brutal. I feel so
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.